Hey there, Conscious Living and Power Radio. I'm Wendy. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. This has been a busy week. I mean, it's the energy this year, just kicking off from 2018 at the stroke of midnight. Everything is just really, really amped up. And I was, before we started this, I was telling Nate this morning, I woke up and I'm hearing this noise, like the little conversation, and I'm hearing a little bit of music behind it and thinking, oh, well, my husband must be watching TV. And he would have shut the door, gone in the other room so it wouldn't bother me. So I look in the other room. He's sound asleep. The TV's off. And I've been listening to this little tiny conversation and thinking, well, it's just that kind of year. And there's nobody outside. It's early in the morning. It was in the house. And so these kinds of things, I think people are getting a little taste of more frequently. And then, of course, another interview I did today with a person who has a very haunted house and things like that. Earlier, I might have dismissed it as, oh, I was just imagining. And now I know, no, I've picked up on something. I just have to see how it plays out and where it leads. And that's following the intuition. So my guest, Lynn Robinson, has been working with intuition. The latest book, the revamp of her book, Divine Intuition, Your Inner Guide to Purpose, Peace, and Prosperity, is out now. And I think 2001, we'll ask Lynn how this all worked out. But it was a bestseller, very popular. And obviously, a lot of people right now, I think, are going to find this helpful and are happy that you've come back out with version two. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. It's a good day to check in. And all this stuff, you know, this is the perfect time of year for people to kind of set back and go and reset and reconnect with where they need to go and what they need to be doing. And sensing that inner guidance is really helpful.
Absolutely. I think of it as our inner GPS, and that when we pay attention to it, it points us in the right direction, because we're really not alone. You know, whether it's the voices you're hearing when you wake up in the morning or it's some other way that we get our intuition, I think that we have guidance available to us 24/7.
Well, you wrote the book, was it 2000 or the first go-round with this?
2001, yeah, right.
Okay, and then you got word that they were going to quit publishing it, so you went back and revamped it. So basically the benefit means that you've added more information and really expanded it to give people even more helpful.
All of my new knowledge and wisdom, and so put lots of new stories in there and new techniques. I love talking about intuition and making it be very practical for people, because, gosh, don't you probably read the same books I do? And there's all these books out there that tell you to, you know, trust your gut and what does your intuition say? But there aren't too many books out there that really tell you how to do it. So that's really my passion, is making it be very practical and accessible for people. And hopefully that happened in Divine Intuition.
Well, your own story is very concrete. You know, you ask for specifics and then they show up. And I think that's worth sharing again, no matter how many people have read it. There's somebody listening right now. This is brand new to them. So if you give people an idea of where you're coming from.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, there's a funny story, which you probably read in the revised edition. When the first book came out, as you said, it was an international bestseller, lots of people were buying it. And so it was out for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and I started getting little emails from people going, can't find it anymore. And the short version is that the publisher ended up taking it out of print. It was one of those expensive kind of full-color books that's unusual.
Yeah.
And not very expensive to print. And I have to say, I'm usually pretty calm and collected and don't get upset too easily, but I was pretty devastated when I found out that it went out of print. And I was really, my poor husband, you know, he's used to being married to a calm, cool, collected wife, and I was like a basket case.
And whoops.
The poor guy, you know, he's going, what can I do to make you feel better? And I kept saying this thing, which for me was kind of an unusual phrase, but it was kept coming through my mind. I kept saying, I just want to know God's hand is on my life, which to me meant I want to know that there's something beyond this book, because it had been so much a part of my brand and my life. And I don't, this story isn't going to come across so well over radio without seeing the visual of this, but it's in the book, so you can see it there. But what happened was, after moping around and crying all day, he finally said, Lynn, the only thing that ever makes you feel better is a hot fudge sundae. So he drove me to the local Dairy Queen, and I'm still a basket case sitting in the car. I'm crying. I don't want to go get an ice cream. You go get it for me. And so he goes to get me an ice cream sundae. And I'm saying, I just want to know God's hand is on my life. I don't really want a hot foot Sunday. But he brought it back, put it up on the dashboard. And this is where you really need the visual, but I'll do it the best I can. In the ice cream, in the hot fudge sauce, there is a very distinct hand, just like the hand of God. I'm like, okay, that's a sign.
It's a little tiny hand.
It's a little tiny hand. But it's like really one of those distinct, you know, when you see the hand of God image. I mean, there it is, right there in the hot fudge sauce. I mean, does the universe have a sense of humor? Oh, love it.
Yes. Well, that was so perfect. That's why I like it, because it's very concrete, or ice cream concrete, but that is specific. And that's what people just have a hard time thinking. Well, if I'm specific, I'll ruin it because it won't happen. There's that immediate, basically almost a disconnect from it.
Yes.
And then you make it harder. And yours is like right there. And I like it when you're having your little 3-year-old tantrum of, I don't want to.
Oh, I know. I was. You know, and it's funny, Wendy, something happened to me this morning. That's actually the first time I'm telling this story. My husband, to preface it, my husband have one of these, you know, I think all of us have these signs from the universe. Ours is 222, the number 222. We see it on license plates or phone numbers or whatever. That's a sign that the universe is saying, you know, go ahead, or we've got your back or something. So we're talking about a big financial decision that we're making, and we'd had a little date at our local coffee shop, and so we talked about it for about an hour and bringing our coffee, and then we said, okay, well, we'll just have to get a sign from the universe if this is the right thing. So no kidding, we get out to our car. Next to us is parked a car that had this really cool wheel cover in the back, and it had like a stars and moons. It was really spiritual. I look down. There is license plate is 2222. And it said, life is good, live your dreams. I mean, you know, you can't
Perfect.
Make it any better than that. So I just think the universe gives us signs, you know, maybe not so amazing like a, you know, hand in the hot fudge sauce, but hey, you know.
Oh, but that's the thing. Everybody gets what works for them. And when you're saying you work with numbers, I have those very same kinds of prompts, and I've learned to just pay attention and step back, step away from it. Don't push and don't get worried. Just, okay, I'll get what I need when it's time. It'll give me a sign and I will know. And that, I think, is that trust, especially working with your program and the way you set these out by giving people helpful hints and ideas and reminders that this is always going on. That the intuition doesn't go away. You've got support 24/7.
Right.
And that's, I think, what's helpful. Basically, instead of somebody else, little angel standing behind us, you've got the book. You just open the book and say, okay, what do I need to read? Opening your mind to the divine. Yeah. You are never alone or helpless. The force that guides the stars guides you too. And that was what I opened to without even doing anything. Page 37 of the book. Okay.
Oh, cool. I said that. Well, that's really cool.
Well, you had help.
Okay, I did. And you know, you just said something too a few moments ago that I just want to underline. This stuff doesn't always happen immediately. I mean, I just gave you two great examples of that. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, there's been times where I've asked for signs that I've either missed them or, you know, they're not delayed, but they just come, as you said, at the right time. You know, because sometimes the intuition and the universe says yes, sometimes it says no, sometimes it says maybe or not quite the right time, something needs to unfold first. So, I mean, those are also very valid things to have the universe tell you.
Well, and see, sometimes I think when it's a negative, like if you have a car accident or you do something that is not going to be a positive outcome, it's like, oh my gosh, I messed up. Except there's somebody else you were supposed to meet. There was a reason keeping you from going at that time in the direction you were going that usually, in my experience, is for your best interest. It's just difficult to swallow it because it isn't a gold star and it isn't ice cream.
Yeah. But it's looking out for those signs, you know, wherever you can find them. One time we had a car accident. Well, it was actually, I won't go into the long story, but there was a car accident. The car was having real problems. We were on a vacation. And just as it happened, the Blue Angels fighter aircraft went overhead. It was like, okay, well, they're still watching up for us.
And you got a chance to watch them instead of driving along.
Yeah, I know. It's a little distracting from our car getting on fire, but yes, okay.
Well, okay, you're going to do a car. I will do a car. I was driving, and at the moment, somebody turned in front of me, and I'm just really irritated. You know, that irritated sound when you grind your teeth and like, because I had to stop. I missed them just by inches, but they wanted to make the turn quickly before the light changed, and the light had already changed and they were already making the turn. So here we are, and I'm making all these not very happy noises of you. All right. Then I go into the parking lot up to the third floor, and I always, for whatever reason, with this particular vehicle, I always parked in front of a barrier, one of the nice little support beams. It just, wherever I was, I found that and a support beam. So as I'm pulling into the spot, the car has a little defect that's rapid acceleration. And it starts going rapid acceleration into the support beam. And I'm sitting there going, what the heck did I do? You know, that immediate thing of, oh my gosh. And finally it runs out of juice. If I had not been there, they're the faux cement, beautiful decorations on either side with a small lower than my car, metal post. They wouldn't have kept the car from going over. Now, back to the intuition and back to the support and always having something to help you and a reason for things to happen. I ask my guys, I'm like, what the heck? I took it back. I said, I'm sorry for all the things, the rotten things I was thinking about the person who pulled in front of me, because I tried to undo it. I was like, oh, I shouldn't think that. That's not good. I was pulling it back. And it said, because I'm like, oh, guilt trip, big time, knowing I shouldn't have had a little temper tantrum and not wanting to go into work that way. And then they said, you were the right person to drive the car, because this car was actually belonged to my father-in-law, and they used it to tow vehicles to different car shows across the country, but they let us borrow it. And I had the vehicle, and I had no idea that there was going to be any kind of a problem. And I, you know, attributed it to me having a temper tantrum. And yet it was something that kept them from being possibly in a worse situation. And no, so these things, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, and it's a bad thing. And the car was totaled, but at the same time, and the fortunately the beam for the support building, they went ahead and brought their engineers out, and there was no structural damage. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love architects.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Oh my gosh. It's just incredible when, you know, and sometimes what I think happens is we don't stop and look at those miracles. I mean, you know, the ones we're talking about are really blindingly obvious, but I mean, gosh, there's just so many miracles that, you know, await us every day. I mean, yesterday I was just really meditating, and I was kind of asking for a sign, and this little bird showed up on my office window. I mean, birds are there. I live on Cape Cod. You know, they hang out all the time. But this little bird was just staring intently at me, and it was like, okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You know, nothing like super out of the ordinary, but it was just like one of those little, hi, I'm here. The universe is paying attention. Love
and,
that.
Yeah. And it's just subtle, and yet it's comforting and it's reassuring. And it's like, wow, it's just such a special place when you can take a moment and connect to the present.
Yep. Absolutely.
Their book with Divine Intuition, and if you're listening, it's Divine Intuition, Your Inner Guide to Purpose, Peace, and Prosperity. And this is I have the hardcover book. It's nice to have a substance instead of on the internet, you know, on online.
Oh, yeah.
The power goes out. I've still got a book. And I like that. This is the chapter 20. What would you do if you were brave? Because right now there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of upheaval. There's a lot of chaos. Now that isn't always a bad thing. It gets rid of the dross. It stirs up things that need to be addressed, and it helps us reevaluate and reconsider what direction we want to go. So a lot of people like you have done deciding, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to be brave, and a little ice cream didn't hurt. What comes next? How do you advise?
You know, and that's such a great chapter to pick up, because one of the things I hear from my clients all the time when I'm doing intuitive readings is that, you know, my intuition is guiding me to this, or I want this, or I'm excited about that. And then often people stop themselves and they, you know, some combination of, oh, I don't have the confidence, or I'm scared, or they start to do the what if this bad thing happens. And, you know, I think that's why people get scared about intuition a lot, because it is moving out of their comfort zone. So what I tell people to do is pay attention. I mean, one of the ways that intuition speaks to us is if you're excited, curious, energized, interested in something, it keeps coming up, it keeps nudging you, keeps saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if? Those are all intuitive little nudges. And so, you know, it's scary because it might be that you're moving or you're beginning and ending a relationship or you're going on some other path or you're standing up for yourself. I mean, it could be any one of a number of things that your intuition is guiding you towards. So I tell people, if it feels way too scary to take a big leap, take a small step. I mean, the example I like to use is, for instance, you're at a job and you're drained, bored, enervated. That's your intuition telling you that's not the best place for you. It's time for a change. So, you know, look, a lot of us have mortgages, rent to pay, kids in school, our own school debts, whatever. You can't just go tell your boss I'm leaving. But what's the next step that you could honor your intuition? And that's not a huge risk at this point. I mean, ultimately, yes, you may have to take the risk to leave the job, but how could you build a bridge towards the thing that you're feeling guided to do? You could take a class. You could do informational interviews. You could go talk to a career coach. You could rewrite your resume. You could, you know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of little small steps that you can do to honor your intuition. And I also tell people, you know, a lot of the self-confidence issue comes up from so many people. And, you know, I think we all wish for that self-confidence fairy to come and sprinkle her fairy dust over us. But honestly, haven't you found that you get the confidence by doing the thing you're scared to do? I have. I mean, over and over. I mean, gosh, the first time I wrote a book, I had muscle spasms in my back for weeks beforehand because I was so nervous. What if I can't write as well as and fill in the blank? And, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And look, I think that our culture now requires us to be brave. It requires us. There's so much energy, as you said right now, and I think a lot of us are really being called to put our talents and our skills and our knowledge and our hearts and our spirit forward. Our world needs that, and it needs all of us.
What you've done in the book is you've included lots of quotes and lots of testimonials from people that you may, in many cases, may be familiar with their name, or you might just be because of somebody's experience we don't recognize the name, but it speaks to you. I want to go back to the brave, where you put the quote, "Promise me you'll always remember you're braver than you believe and stronger than you seem and smarter than you think." That's Christopher Robin to Winnie the Pooh. And that's what, you know, as a children's book, that's a great piece to take with you throughout life, is that to keep knowing that you have that inner strength somehow, some way to pull through. And that's what's happening for a lot of us right now, is digging in and saying, there's a reason I'm here, and something I have come to bring to the table will show up either in my heart, in my life, with a sign. And I think that's what your book speaks to, is a lot of this, just remembering to look around and see there are other people going through the same struggles you are. You aren't alone.
And, you know, I just flipped open the book to that, the next chapter, and there's a quote from Martha Graham, which I love. "There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium and be lost." So I just think, you know, we've each got our unique puzzle piece here that we need to contribute. You know, it's so fascinating to me how we all have different skills and talents. I was talking to a friend of my son's the other day, and he said, you know, "I just love driving trucks. I just love it. To me, that would be the worst job in the world." My accountant, who I saw the other day, "I love doing accounting. I love taxes. I love reading about taxes." Oh, my gosh, shoot me now. I couldn't, you know. But we each have our skills and talents of something that we're here to do. I mean, whether it's something like a job, or we're here to be a counselor or a caretaker or to bring more love into the world or kindness in the world, we each have our calling.
I think that's the challenge, though, is that comparison, the competitiveness and the, you know, the expectations that sometimes are very unrealistic and completely off target for the individual.
Yeah, that's right. And I think so many of us, you know, we grew up in, you know, maybe homes where, you know, we were expected to have that high-paying job or do what our parents did or go to our parents' college or, you know, something. I mean, gosh, I know when I started my business, I was the operations manager of a software company, and I had, you know, a good job, good benefits, you know, I had a nice position, nice office. And I just knew it wasn't what I wanted to be when I grew up. But boy, my logical brain and a lot of my friends and my parents, like, "You should keep that job. You know, that's a good job. You know, you should keep doing that. And this could go into another computer job." And it's like, oh, gosh. So I had to really pay attention to my own spirit, which was saying, this is really draining. It's boring. It's, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, for somebody else, that could have been the perfect ideal job, but it wasn't for me. And talk about having to be brave. Boy, I really had to be brave to say, you know, I mean, it was a little bit vague at first. I knew I wanted to do some kind of counseling. I knew I loved spirituality and metaphysics, and I wanted to have my own business. But, you know, I had to kind of step out on that in that space of being brave and kind of try to figure out what that was and what that looked like in order to begin doing it. And once I chose it, it chose me. You know, a lot of miracles started happening right around that time. So, but I think sometimes we have to take that first step in faith.
Well, okay, talk about the dream, because that's that's for a lot of us, that's how that works. But you have a good example with your dream.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that was so funny. The funny way that my business started was that I went to a career coach, and I, you know, told her what I just said. You know, I don't want to do this anymore, and I there are all the things I want to do, but I couldn't identify it as this is, you know, specific. I want to do intuitive readings or be a speaker. So what happened, I worked with her for a few months, and during the very beginning of that, I went to a class on intuition, and I discovered that I was really good at, you know, what we call tuning into people, you know, getting information or insight or figuring out what's blocking them or what their goals and life purpose is, things like that. And I just kind of thought everybody could do that, but it came so easily to me. And I went back to her the following week, and I was totally kidding, because I'm, you know, this person who's got this, you know, operations manager of software company, thinking I should do something more like that. And yeah. And I said, I got it. I'm going to be a psychic. And then I proceeded to change the subject. And then she said, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. You know, why are you changing the subject? I said, well, I lived in Boston at the time. And I said, it's not like there's a help wanted ad for psychics in the Boston Globe. I mean, how do you start a business like that? And bless her, she was the first one that really taught me about meditation, doing affirmations, visualizations. And so she gave me a homework assignment. She said, I want you to imagine that you have a successful psychic reading business, appointment book full of clients, happy clients, money going into your account, see yourself speaking. And all of this just sounded real woo-woo to me back then. Mm-hmm. Even though I was real interested in this stuff, it still was a little out there. But I did my homework assignment. I visualized and, you know, did my affirmations. And the weirdest thing, oh, my gosh, this is one of those universe has your back moments. A friend of mine died and who had been sick for quite a while. I went to his funeral. I walked into the funeral home. I heard this. What I can only tell you is a voice telling me, please sit there. And I turned around to acknowledge the woman that had said it, and there was no one there. Yeah. But my attention got drawn to this empty seat next to me, next to a woman I didn't know. I sat there thinking, that's very weird. What just happened? At the end of the service, she and I started chatting, and she said, well, you know, what do you do for a living? Well, you know, I was the manager of this software company, but what do I blurt out? I'm a psychic. I was like so mortified that I had said that. And fortunately, she was really interested, and she asked me for a reading. I'd really never done this before for a few friends or, you know, people in the class and whatnot. I went over to her house, didn't have an office, the following week, gave her a reading. It was great, thankfully. I was so nervous. It turned out that she was a writer for the Boston Globe newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The interesting thing about that is you said you don't put an ad in the Boston Globe
right.
for a psychic.
You got it. And here she was. The universe delivered up the Boston Globe newspaper writer here. She wrote an article, and I got 500 clients in the next month. So that's how my business launched.
Yes.
And, you know, now it's gone to 7 books and published in over 15 languages, and I get to speak internationally. I just feel, wow, you know, the universe has your back.
Well, at the same time, though, part of this was when the first publishing company said, okay, we're done. And you're sitting there going, but I'm not done.
Right.
You had to reformat the hard drive. And then you came out with an expanded version of this, of the book with more information, updated information, and in some ways more relevant to where we are at this moment.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I think part of it, Wendy, is keeping my heart open and also my self-talk, because I certainly, and I, you know, certainly spent some time going into that, oh my gosh, my life is over, this is my brand, it's now out of print, in that, you know, in the case of the book. And I really had to go say something along the lines of, you know what, there's still opportunity here. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know this is still my calling. I'm just going to be open to whatever the universe has to say about this, and there will be some other opportunity. And I'm just going to try to be patient and not be in this, you know, yucky place about it and shut it down. And so I had to really stay open to the possibilities. So I think that's okay. Important too.
I want to get into the other aspects because I'm sure you've had in your life something that would be a miracle. And that means you can't even ask for it specifically like you did with the psychic thing. There are people right now in ways of what we would call limbo and upheaval and unfathomable uncertainty. So when we are in those kinds of positions, through no fault of our own, what I'd like to address when we come back out of the break is how to get a mindset to get around what looks to be, and the term is perfect, a big brick wall.
Yep.
How to get around something like that, how to clear the obstacles and allow that there is a greater purpose and God's hand is at work. Can we go there? Because I know you've got it in you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's perfect. I think that's a great question for me, though.
Okay. So if you're listening and you're at a point in your life where you're just looking at walls everywhere, you're looking at stoppers, you're looking at glass ceilings, there's a way out. And maybe even a way through. It's just around the corner. All right, stick around. My guest, Divine Intuition, the author, her name is Lynn Robinson.
Under attack. Man the long knives.
Prepare to be boarded.
Arr! Flagship starboard bow.
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy sail me bonny seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though, learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Hi there, it's Conscious Living and Power Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. My guest, Lynn Robinson, the author of the revised edition of Divine Intuition. If you've read it before, there's something new in this one, okay? So you haven't read it all just yet. And what I wanted to get back to is what's going on at the present. All the upheaval, the chaos, the turmoil, the uncertainty, we're even getting back into republishing things that were put out in the 80s in terms of, you know, fear of nuclear catastrophe in some way, shape, or form. So that causes a lot of drama. And for some people, major crisis. But there are always challenges. And just because we haven't lived through those in the past, like the Depression and various wars, right now, there is a moment for somebody where there are some tremendous personal hardships right in the center blocking the path. So you've addressed that in terms of the chapter that I'm looking at, God's Delays Are Not God's Denials, that maybe that clear path you had set for yourself right now has a big, huge boulder. And so how do we get through that?
You know, I think those times are so scary because they look like they're insurmountable, you know. And to me, it's also a spiritual thing because, as we both said several times, you're not alone. You don't have to go through this by yourself. I mean, I realize when we pray, when we meditate, when we ask for guidance, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if a big booming voice says, here's what you need to do to heal yourself, or here's the lottery number, or whatever it is that our issue is at the moment. But I really do believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of surrender. I believe in being clear the outcome you want, even though you may not be able to figure out how it's going to get there. And, you know, Wendy, I like imagining, I guess I call them like general outcomes. It's not like I will get a job at XYZ company on this date, but more, I have a healthy body. I am being shown the right way to heal myself or help my child or my family member. I am being shown the right path to my calling, to my purpose. Whatever is standing in front of me, I have the power and the, you know, power on the other side of the universe here to help me on this path. I want to feel good. I want to feel healthy. I want to have abundance all around me. Or even better yet, I have it. Like, just claim it as if you do. And really tap into that. It's not something you get. It's something you tune into. You feel the energy of it on a vibrational level before it manifests in your life. So that self-talk, you know, there is a way through this. I am being supported. I can find my way clear. I do have help. There's help all around me. Saying things like that is very powerful. One of the books I wrote the later version of Divine Intuition came out was called Listen, Trusting Your Inner Voice in Times of Crisis. And I interviewed so many people that had, you know, injuries, you know, awful divorces, bankruptcies, you know, health crises, things like that. And to a person, they really all said that it was something that they kind of kept saying to themselves. A lot of times I heard, this too shall pass. A lot of people had to have an affirmation, I'll get through this, times are tough, but I'm stronger, I'll get through this. I mean, saying things like that to yourself, spending time in prayer, meditation, asking for guidance, being clear about the outcome that you want, I want to be healed, I am healthy, I do have friends around me, I will have love again. I mean, things like that are so powerful. They're really a source of the miracles that happen.
I think also having some kind of a therapy, whether it's, you know, talking to somebody or going out in nature, taking long walks or a massage or reading, whatever it is that gets you out of the lockstep of the daily, you know, here's the media, here's the news, here's the job, here's all of my obligations, something that gives you a chance to say, who am I? Where am I in this picture? And a lot of that is just getting out of whatever role you have, you know, like when you said I'm the manager of a computer company, or you had to get out of that role to be able to say, well, Wait a minute, who am I? Yeah. And that's really important now, I think, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing that I like to do, and this is such a great time to do it, we're talking right now in January, is to think about what you want as your theme for the year. It's not a specific goal or intention necessarily, but really what the theme is. And one of the questions I like to ask my own intuition is, what am I yearning for? Because the answer to that is usually not, you know, something specific like a Mercedes-Benz or, you know, a specific job. But what am I yearning for often brings back something a little less tangible perhaps, but I'm yearning for more community, or I'm yearning for more freedom, or I'm yearning for more abundance, or, I mean, those are the things that usually people report back. So I think that's a very powerful question, and it's really more a soul intention for the year. And so I like to use that as a theme for my year. And so I put up my vision board in my office over my desk with that theme at the top, and then put pictures and affirmations that support it. Because again, it keeps, like you were just implying, it's like kind of keeps you focused on what you want versus what you don't want or what you fear.
Well, and part of this too is it also helps to have a compass or something, a touchstone, something that you can refer to. And you've got a blog that you're regularly blogging, so people have an idea of going, you know, somewhere else for some insight. I like what you put on there, taking an intuition walk.
Yes, yeah. And you were just referencing that too, because sometimes you just have to get out of your circumstances. You know, it's whether it's out of the, you know, the job with the awful boss, or, you know, if your health is permits it, to just take a walk and just feel your healthy body, whatever is working at the time, or get away, you know, maybe just take a little a break away from a relationship if you're having an argument. Taking that walk and getting yourself out of the circumstances is really just a powerful thing. I mean, a lot of times people can't meditate or have a very difficult time doing it. I mean, it's like, you know, herding cats when you're trying to focus your breath and focus your attention. But taking a walk, noticing your surroundings, asking for your intuition to be present and guide you on your walk, those are all really very powerful techniques.
I like listening to you, okay? You have a wonderful sense of joy and vivaciousness in your voice that makes it comforting, soothing, and in so many ways inspiring. So it's even, you know, just as you have created yourself into an intuitive guide, coach, in some way, shape, or form, you have created this wonderful, I think, resource that is all the parts of you together. And this, it's called Walking Your Talk.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. I accept.
Well, you know, it was just such a breath of fresh air when you first started talking. There was a bubble in your voice and just that joy of being in the right place for you. And I think as people listen to you, and that's the authenticity that comes through and says, wow, wow, I want what she's having. And, yeah, you know, a double dose with a couple hands on that ice cream.
Yes, absolutely. Well, two cans of pot. I'll share. Come down to Cape Cod. You can share my ice cream sundae.
I like ice cream sundae.
I know, me too. I know. I keep thinking, oh, I shouldn't eat so much sugar, but gosh, I sure do enjoy that. And there's so many places down here to get them in the summer right by the ocean. It's really quite nice. Yeah.
Yes. Well, but, there's, you know, so many really things that you are doing and that you do help in terms of offering. But are there those moments? You've had clients when they've told you they had a turnaround as a result. Can you share, because I know, you know, you get the feedback. Can you share what those moments were for some of your people who have allowed you to share the story, of course?
No, I think that what happens when you get an intuitive reading with a good intuitive, and I hope I'm one of those, is that sometimes it's not so much that they say anything that's so surprising, but almost like what I feel that I do is I tune into people and I see their dreams and I see what they're really they've come here for. And I also see what stands in their way. You know, they have not given themselves permission for whatever reason to do what they really want to do. And so a lot of times, I mean, when I do a reading for somebody, I get things in images and feelings and words and pictures and messages from your guides. And I kind of put myself into that person's heart and mind and say, how are they viewing the world? Where are they stuck? What's in their way? And a lot of times it's like that, you know, that awful self-talk of, oh, I don't deserve it, or somebody's better than me, or I don't have the education, or whatever. But I love working with people who've got a big vision and then get scared and, you know, don't know how to manifest it. Because I, as you know, from this conversation, I'm really a very big believer that, you know, spirit, God, universe, however you want to envision it, is here to help us. I feel like if it's in our hearts and we're excited about something, that's God, universe, intuition telling us, go in that direction. So what I try to do is ask, I always ask questions of my own mind as I'm doing a reading. So I'm saying, is there something standing in this person's way? And what is it? And how can I help them, you know, unfold this vision so they can open up to the energy of it rather than blocking it? I mean, so I love, you know, talking to people who've got a dream of having their own businesses. I mean, gosh, I've had so many people who've started businesses after talking to me and or their business got successful. So I really just love helping people go for what the potential is.
Well, and when you're getting into that self-doubt and self-talk that's critical, hypercritical, whatever, I like the fact that you were not afraid to go and take the sense of humor and put it right back into it by The Complete Idiot's Guide to Psychic Intuition, which you co-authored.
Yes.
Okay, so before anybody says, I'm not good enough, well, just be an idiot and go for it, all right? Just say, I don't know anything, and that's perfect. That's how you start.
Yeah, just start where you are. You know, don't you find in the work that you do and maybe in your interviews with people, it's like a lot of us have big dreams. And the image I get oftentimes, it's like somebody feels like they're standing at the bottom of Mount Everest trying to get to the top. And it just feels so insurmountable and so huge that they just don't know where to begin. And I know it's sort of a cliche to say, just begin with a first step. But that really is it. And I find that when you take that next step, the universe will open the next door. You don't necessarily need to know the whole path to the top of Everest, but you do need to take that next step in faith, and then the universe says, oh, okay, you got connected to this person or this situation. Here's another opportunity. So we're always on that path. And listen, I don't want to make it sound like there's times where I never get discouraged or I don't get freaked out or, you know, in despair. I mean, I find those as I get older and I work this process more, they're fewer and farther between. But I definitely have had, I have a friend who calls them saggy diaper days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, oh, gosh, here's that issue again. You know, it's like, here it is, rearing its ugly head for me to heal.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I also want to say, though, too, is that there are some of us out here who have a very difficult time focusing. And I think there was a quote, and it's been a while, but it had to do with, if your life is so complicated, then you're not going to, simplification won't be happening as long as you continue to make it complicated.
Right.
It's hard to clean out the closet when every single thing in there has meaning and has value and has purpose. And you feel like if you throw it away, then you wasted something. But sometimes that's what has to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I went through a period of a few years ago where my business was really slow, and I was like, I felt like somebody had put my name in the obituary column and hadn't told me. You know, it was just like, oh my gosh, what happened? And mm-hmm. and you know, the message I kept getting from Spirit was clean out your closets and clean out your office. And I'm thinking, okay, that is really not the way to get more business. I mean, this is stupid. Am I hearing this right? But I just said, okay, I'm going to do as I'm told, and I started cleaning out my cellar and cleaning out my garage and my office, and all of a sudden, it was like somebody turned the spigot back on in my business. I didn't do any new marketing, new branding, new website, anything, but it was more just cleaning out. And I think that when you make space, the universe really wants to fill it up with what brings you joy.
That darn feng shui thing, it really does work.
I know. I'm about to go through another phase of that soon, yes.
Well, and that's part of it. I mean, for me, from the time I was young, I don't want to be a specialist. I want to do all sorts of things. And so the challenge has been to where do I need to prune? Where do I need to let go? And if I cut back, does that mean I'm cutting off? And usually that isn't the case, but there's such a fear attached to that because there's an unknown, an uncertainty. And they're really, those are core issues of going back and saying, well, this too shall pass.
Right.
And you can't do it until you make a move. There's another quote in there where it's, you know, the worst move is to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you address in so many levels with the quotes and with the personalities that you've included in your book. Yeah. And I think between that and following along with the blog and the stories that you included on your website, then people might want to be interested, or I probably are interested in getting a reading. How does that work? Is it a half hour Skype? What do you do?
Half hour. I do them all by phone or Skype. And it's my website is lynnrobinson.com. And my first name is LYNN, or that's how it's spelled. And I have lots of videos and articles. I love talking about the stuff, lots of blogs about how to use your intuition. And you can just sign up for a reading right on my website. It goes right to my online calendar. I love technology.
And see, that's the thing. You have so many accolades. And so there's a I guess, I don't know if it's tenure. There's something that comes with having had the experience and worked through some highs and lows to know that there is another side. So back to, if there is something right now that you think, given this time, that it would be the most important thing that you could share. And it doesn't have to come from your book. It can come from your heart. What would you say to help?
To pay attention to what you're excited about, if that feels like too strong of a word, what you're curious about, what you do that feels like a relief. Those are your intuition telling you go in that direction. And sometimes people have a hard time doing that because, as you were just indicating, sometimes your current life is so filled up. So pay attention, equally important, to what's draining you. It might be a friend. It might be a situation. It might be that your closets are too filled. Any kind of situation in your life that's draining you, begin to move away from that. And that's your intuition guiding you. But keep taking those steps forward because your intuition is always there. It's always giving you a nudge. It doesn't give up on you. And if something's been nudging you or curious about it for a long time, that's your intuition saying that's your path.
There's a quote in the book that you talk about here, and it's from Irma Bombeck. And I interviewed her, my gosh, it's been maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, my gosh, really? Wow. We're dating ourselves.
Yeah, well, I was so thrilled and so intimidated that I didn't do a very good interview. I was like, oh, please, can I have a do-over? I interviewed Carl Sagan, and it was much better. But wow. It was that thing of, there was something about Irma that I was just so bowled over and so appreciative of her humor. And so in the book, when you say, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. And I'm hoping, for me, I know I've got a bunch of talent that I really haven't gotten around to using yet. And I think that might be my next focus, is to take that out of the box. And hopefully Irma forgave me for blowing the interview.
I feel that she did, Wendy. She's channeling through me now. Yes, I forgive you. You're wonderful.
What's that thing? There was another person that I talked to, and she said, when I was saying, I'm writing books, I'm doing stuff. And the one thing that she suggested is, did you put a joke in it? Does it have humor? I think that resonated so much because the minute I heard your voice, when we first started talking, I could hear that joy, that humor, that bubble, that it's like, oh my gosh, it's all coming back to me now.
Oh, neat. That's cool. I like that. I like that. Look at how long you've been interviewing people. My goodness, that's terrific. So part of your calling. You know, it's funny. I feel guided to say, because you've said a couple things that keep making me think this. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are like you and like me that have a lot of aptitudes. It's not like we were born to, come out of high school or college and go, wow, I'm going to be an engineer, I'm going to be an accountant, I'm going to be a teacher, and we were real super clear on that one career path. I think that there's so many of us, especially that are being, probably in our 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s now, that have multiple aptitudes, and that if we just do that one thing, we're bored. And so a lot of us, I'm just seeing this anecdotally with my intuitive reading clients, a lot of us are doing several things. My organization is intuitive consulting. I do readings. I write books. I'm a speaker. I love speaking about this, especially to, entrepreneurial groups and women's business groups. But all of those things, I help my husband with his business, all of those things combine to make a really fun life. If I just did one of those things, I'd probably be bored. Mm-hmm. And I think you're the same way. You have those multiple aptitudes. And so many of us are trying to fit ourselves into that darn little box of, this is who I am, and this is what, and then we just go, oh my gosh, this is just not as exciting as I thought it was.
Well, part of that, though, is challenging, because there's always that thing of, am I doing enough? Yes. Am I doing enough?
Or
is
there's too many things I want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just going back to college, I remember seeing at the end of my run, there was something I hadn't joined. I wasn't on the track team. I had ruled that out because my jump wasn't far enough. And I realized when I was a senior and graduating, the person who won the jump that year, she jumped 15.3. My jump when I was a freshman was 17.2. But because of where I came from, I didn't think it was good enough.
Wow.
Okay. So those kinds of things I have looked back on and decided, where am I not giving myself enough credit to go out and do the best I can, whatever it might be, and know that as long as I'm doing my best, then that's showing up. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That totally makes sense. And don't we, I think it's just human nature that we compare ourselves to others. Oh my gosh, every time I sat down to write a book, I would go, oh my gosh, fill in the blank, wrote a better book than me, and, maybe they're a better writer, and, having to overcome that little self-talk, little inner demon there.
What I decided was maybe I'm a better talker than I am a book writer.
or a long jumper, you know?
maybe this is just a clue. But that's part of it. That's part of it. And we're all in that same situation. And I think right now, having something like this to give you a step back moment to say, okay, I'm not quite sure to do, you know, what to do today. And all I have to do is when I've got your book, is it's really funny because this is a good one. Experiencing peace in difficult times. Okay.
Yep.
That might be a good place to start. All right. Let go of the drama. Right. Go back to center. And what is your intuition telling you?
Yeah.
Give it a chance.
And what's your intention for this? You know, what would you ideally, you may not know how it's going to happen, but what's your intention? What would you like to create instead? That's very powerful.
Well, part of this has to do with, I think, there's always something bigger, better, smarter, you know, in some way, shape, or form, going back to the competition word, that is there to capture our attention. But the most important thing is your heart in it? Do you really value what you're doing? Is this important to you? And then how to make that applicable in somehow, you know, a manifest way so you can remember, this isn't what my heart isn't in it. My joy isn't here.
Right.
Where do I reconnect to that?
Yeah. And that you don't lose, how do I want to put it? You know, I think you said a few moments ago, you know, all these things that I, you know, that I'm letting go of or that I didn't make use of. And I never think that any of those things are wasted actions. I mean, it may be that you met somebody. It may be that you learned a new skill or understood something about yourself. You know, just the fact that you're moving on from it doesn't mean that it was a failure. It was helpful to you at the time.
And that, yeah, it's like I talked about with the accident earlier.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about me. It was about the other people involved, and I needed to be the in-between. I needed to be the stopgap. I needed to be the post to keep somebody else from going over that wall.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I think a lot of us, we're here to kind of heal our own karma or grow in our own ways, but we're also here for others around us or for the planet if we're, you know, more kind of visionary leaders and teachers. And so some of the things I think we go through are to be of service to others.
It's harder to see that in the day-to-day,
you know,
and that's where that, when there are a lot of people who are, I guess, in a position where they don't feel like, where their options are limited and where those challenges are. The things I have experienced in my life that amount to miracles, when I started opening the door to miracles, I started hearing more stories of miracles. Mm-hmm. And one of them most recently was when my mom called me and she said, I'm going to tell you about the accident I didn't have.
Wow.
That's on my answering machine, of course. Yes. Thanks, Mom. Okay. I'm calling ASAP. So a day later, when I'm able to reach her, she says she was driving down the road and she all of a sudden realized that the car in front of her was turning and it wasn't stopping and she had nowhere to go. There was a mailbox and a ditch and she kept going and maybe moved the car just a little bit. And all of a sudden she's on the other side, beyond the vehicle, and no accident. And she said, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And I said, Mom, draw me a diagram just so we can picture this. Because she says, it didn't happen. It couldn't happen because there was a mailbox. The vehicle was in front of her, or enough that she would have slammed into it.
Yeah.
And he didn't even see her.
Wow.
As far as she could tell. So there are those moments when every single person who's listening to this has an opportunity to have a miracle. So the intuition is there, but if you leave that little space for the divine to sneak in, it's an amazing reality. And that, I think, is here for all of us. And I know you've had experiences with that in your own life, Lynn, but for right now, that was the one that stood out.
Yeah. Wow. I just, you know, it's just really amazing that, you know, when you really stay open to those miracles and you just, like, keep looking at them, you know, what you put your attention on grows. And when you put your attention on those miracles and all the wonderful things that are in your life and try to take them off of the things that are not going well, you know, those miracles start growing.
Now, on your website, is it a free, what, seven free, I can't,
seven
the screen left, the minute I wanted to say something.
Yes, free ebook, 7 ways to supercharge your intuition. Yeah, there's a lot of free resources on my site. My marketing person says, you're giving away too many things. But there's a lot of stuff there. There's videos, there's blogs, there's podcasts, there's lots of articles and everything about how to use your intuition. So lynnrobinson.com. And you can sign up for a reading.
It comes back. It just comes back because it's not only you who benefit. It's the people who are using it. And then they tell their friends. And we all benefit when somebody else wins. It may not make sense, but that's what happens because then everybody's elevated. And I just think that's the okay, fine. That's the way it works for me. All right, fine.
Yep. I agree. Ditto.
Okay, so if you're listening, you can get the book. You can get an e-version. You can get the hardback. You can whatever works for you. Read it online or with in your hand. You can take it on a walk. Divine Intuition, Your Inner Guide to Purpose, Peace, and Prosperity. And you have a newer book, I saw on your website.
Yeah, I have a book that's more about business. It's called Put Your Intuition to Work. So it's techniques and stories and ideas about how to use your intuition to grow your business or to be in a business environment, how to make decisions using your gut instincts.
Yeah, I think that's tough because a lot of times you're under the line of whether, you know, it's got to make a profit or somebody else is involved in some way, shape, or form. You don't want to hurt them or you don't want to cause too much upheaval. And it's tough to make sometimes those decisions under those kinds of conditions. So there you go. I appreciate your work. I appreciate what you're doing. It's nice to connect with you. And I'm really glad that you're in a space to help others work through their challenges and maybe get a little bit more confident about their own intuition.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on, Wendy. It was really fun to talk to you. I feel like you're a kindred spirit.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to chocolate ice cream now. Maybe chocolate, maybe a sundae.
Absolutely.
You know, I may just have to think about it until I get myself, well, you know. Sugar addiction. It's too easy. Thank you. And thank you for listening. You can check out the stuff I've got on the blog. Wendy's Coffee House blog is still quite active and I'm writing about the dreams and that still. I added some stuff about the nightlight. It's been 20 years this month, actually, for when I started writing the book. And the nightlight started December 1997. Gosh, it's extraordinary. Time flies and the world is so full of magic. Just open your eyes. You'll see it. See ya.